hope over the past few weeks or however long that there are some things that as you talk to people on a daily routine, that as they say things that they believe, that there's notes or you've put something within yourself that you can defend this gospel. Because that's the issue. I mean, even before we started here this morning, Joe and Paul were talking about, and we've been talking about those people in other countries that have missionaries going all over the world that are teaching and preaching the same Jesus that we preach, but yet teaching it wrongly. It's better, and Joe goes, it'd be better if they just never heard. There's some truth to that. Right? But now I have to also base myself on, as a kid growing up and learning and growing and hearing things that were wrong and not knowing they were wrong, I can still go to my past and know I learned a lot of things. Paul mentions the fact, I can't remember where the verse is, if somebody remembers it, of although they may preach it wrong, or although they may teach it wrong, is it in Philippians? See, I was thinking Corinthians too.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians.
Philippians 1:15.
Well, Paul's just a big show off, ain't he? I forgot Paul memorized. Yeah, here you go. Blank, thanks a lot, Hannah. You deceived me and led me the wrong way. Yeah, I honestly thought it was in Corinthians too. But they've changed it overnight. God has miraculously come down and flipped the script now. Okay. Look at verse 13. Just so Paul won't be exactly right. Philippians 1:13. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, what? Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. So, Christ being taught is important. Satan will deceive people through the Word. But if people read the Word and see the Word and learn how to rightly divide the Word, they will see truth. Then Paul just rejoices in the fact that Christ is preached. Okay? And so it's just that would be a good study that I'll do one evening, or I'll give it to Paul to do. Anyway, no, I'm kidding. It is a good study. I know Paul went through Philippians. One thing that we hear today is the whatever prayers. We always have the whatever prayers that go on. You see, one team, a football team we've always seen, they'll run through the sign and they'll say, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me, you know. And they're running through there to win the game. And then on this side, the other team runs through and the cheerleaders are holding this banner. And what's it say? I can do all things in Christ. Well, now which one is it? Is it about, you know. And so people today think there are these whatever prayers. And then just whatever they pray, if they have enough faith, it'll be done. And if they didn't have enough faith, that's why it didn't happen. And if you really study the Scriptures, it deals with the person praying, that they, the one that's praying, needs to have enough faith. Okay? So therefore, it puts you in the position that if you pray for somebody to be healed and they walk away, your prayer, you didn't have enough faith. We can blame it on each other all day long, the blame game. There's one thing for sure in Scripture. For Israel, with the enough faith, which they did not have because they failed, right? The fact is that those prayers were answered. But there will come a day in the times of refreshing, they will have God's Word hid in their heart, that what they pray will be the very will of God, and it will come to pass. If it's the issue of moving a mountain, they'll move a mountain. Okay? That will happen. You ever heard anybody preach on the fact that if you just had the grain of a mustard seed of faith, then you could move this mountain? And there's been songs written about it, and I haven't seen one person move a mountain yet. Have you? I mean, so let's face it. Those are the whatever prayers. Okay? But let's go and let's see some... That was me flirting. I thought somebody was laughing. I was scratching the board off. I thought, well, that's kind of funny. All right. You know, that's what I quit putting up there? I got tired of being made fun of. Now I'm messing up again. I can't spell.
Go back to second grade.
Yeah, because I'm sure in second grade you spelled Christianity.
Spelling has nothing to do with your intelligence.
Thank you.
Underline.
That's why I love
it's
paper.
Talent. It's just what you know.
No way. They don't deserve it.
That's right.
It sounds like
you just said bar at
sunrise. All right. It's crazy. Go to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. The whatever prayers. Matthew 21, and I'm not making light of this because there's coming a day where these things will come to be. In Matthew 21, and let's look at verse 22. Tell you what, let's go up a little bit. Go to verse 18. This is kind of a cool thing that I've read 100 times, but for some reason I read it this week, and it's like, wow, that's pretty cool. You know, and I never noticed how kind of cool it was. But verse 18, now in the morning as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, of course this is Jesus, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only. And said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. Now you realize, we always think about it, well, it just finally died. I've always read it as though, well, man, let me tell you what, that tree died right then. It's kind of cool, really. You know, I'd go around, I'd kill every fruit tree I didn't like. Anyway, I'm kidding. That's why I'm who I am and he is who he is. Verse 20, and when the disciples saw it, they marveled. So it had to happen right then. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Well, there's coming a day, and this is something that Christ was prophesying to them that was going to happen. He brings it as a truth that this will happen. Okay? So we see that. Go to Mark chapter 11. You have the people that are name it and claim it. You have the name it and claim it people. And if you'll send me a $50 gift for this new building fund, then I'll send you a handkerchief that was brought out from the sea of where, you know. And they'll go to the verse of, you know, it'll add 11 and 39 and it equals 50. So they get you to send me, you know, and you'll receive all these blessings, blah, 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 you know. Well, Mark 11, 24. Tell you what, we'll go up to verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Well, this hasn't happened one time that I know of where somebody would be ruling this world, wouldn't they? Right? I mean, people say all this word is happening, it's all for us. Let me tell you what. This was talking about in the times of refreshing because the word's going to be in their heart. Can you imagine if that went on then? There would be chaos everywhere. Right? They didn't have the word in their heart. Let's continue. Verse 25. And when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. You see, all the things that the only way that this could be possible is they had the word in their heart. The only way that this could come to pass and this happened is if it was going on with Christ in them. Why were these people able to do the miracles and do the things as they walked, as Christ walked the earth, the disciples that had powers to do this stuff? It wasn't because they just could do it anytime they wanted to. The Holy Spirit would come upon them. Okay? The Holy Spirit would be doing the works. What kind of works would they want to do when that happened? Only the works of God. Because they were doing His will. Okay? So those things are going to come to pass when these things are able to happen. Okay? Now, go to John chapter 14. John 14 and look at verse 13. In verse 13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Do you see all these if, all these conditions? The only way that they could do this now is if they met these conditions. Okay? Go to chapter 15, same book. And let's see, go to verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. Remember what I said? They'll have the word in their heart. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Because they're going to be doing the things that Christ wanted. They're going to be doing His will. There are people today that are preaching this as if they just don't have enough faith. Like that man standing behind the pulpit has the faith to do it. Well, why ain't he doing it? I love the comments. You see people that don't believe today that the issue is God's grace is sufficient today. If it was the issue that we could just pray for people to be healed, there wouldn't be handicapped parking places. Because the prayer of the righteous one is the one that would be doing the healing. Not the one that's sick. But they've even turned it around the fact they make it like, well, that person that was sick didn't have enough faith. No, you're the one that's supposed to have enough faith. You're the one praying. Do you see the point? They've just mixed all the stuff. It's the whatever prayers. Whatever they want to pray. Okay? Go to chapter 16. In chapter 16, verse 23. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you. But they tell us to read the red letters. And that's why, you know, if we just concentrate on the red letters, songs have been written about it. And, you know, Jesus wrote it all. You know, it's all been written. Go to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His. See the condition? His commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. The focus on the prayer life and why things happen. Now, this was me. As I would teach these things wrongly, I used to always blame it on, find a way to blame it on the person like I was receiving all these things that I wanted. The issue was, and then when I didn't, the issue was, well, it's because I'm not praying His will. Because if I was praying His will, then I would just get those things that just He wanted, and I would be thankful for that. Bull garbage. We got flesh on. There, you know, that's just, and that's where people say, well, God gave me this car. And God gave me this house. And God gave me this boat. And God, you know, like God's Santa Claus. You know. But then when they do something wrong, why don't God judge them? Why don't He, if He's going to bless them, why don't He curse them? But the issue is people think they can just name it and claim it. They can just pray about it and it's going to happen. Because the Bible says so, that's why. So we must be doing something wrong. Well, no, the issue is this has things to do in a future pretense when the kingdom is set up and the Word is hidden in their hearts and they are just as like Christ. That's what's going on. And they can pray those things because the issue is about what? Let's face it. When we really come to know Christ, you know, a lot of people say, well, I hope there's golf courses and stuff. I don't know who would say that, but some people would say stuff like that, or I hope this happens, or I hope I see so-and-so. That you ain't even, I believe that's not even going to be a thought process. We're going to be so amazed by Christ that everything that was important to us physically is not going to be important to us at all. Yeah, I think it's just going to change everything because He's holy. We don't know what holy and righteousness or any of this stuff looks like. We think we do, you know, because when you eat the perfect steak, you think, oh, that's holy. You know, you just, oh, yeah. I mean, think about it. When there's something you just love, you ever looked out into that? You ever gone out, anybody ever been somewhere like the Grand Canyon or Niagara Falls? And you look at it and you think, oh my goodness. You realize you think that's perfect. That's your perfect. And you know what it is? It's full of sin. We don't have a clue what perfect really looks like. I mean, it looks beautiful to us because it's all we've seen. But that's from a world that's been full of sin for over 4,000 years. And you understand that? Can you imagine what the Garden of Eden looked like? Because it was perfect. So I think those things that we look for and in the future when we're in heaven, like I don't even think it's going to be on our mind anymore. I think those things will just pass away. They'll be so much more important. And that's the issue. But people today think they can pray these things that are physical and it just all take place. Go to chapter 5. I love this because I heard this week. In fact, Grant, I heard this yesterday at the golf course with the guy that was riding with me. His church is struggling. They've had a tough time, and this church has always been up and down a little bit. He's a good guy, you know. But this is what he brought to me, and this is what he's resting on. He's going to find himself very miserable if he continues to rest on this. Verse 15. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. And this is the issue that He's... Selfish petitions is what we make. Let's face it. We make selfish physical petitions a lot of times that are not important to God in this dispensation. Now, on earth, if you're sick and you're going to be there forever, then you need those petitions to be physical, to be able to be healed, to continue to live forever. Why do you think when Christ walked the earth, He was going to do what? Set up His kingdom, right? So people would be what? They would be healed. They'd have faith. Their faith made them whole. They'd be healed. Everyone, this kingdom was going to be set up. Christ came to earth to set the kingdom up. And they failed. And those died in their faith. But there's coming a day, they'll live forever. Right? Those that died in their faith. And so, these petitions and these things are all physical. All these prayers that are physical were to Israel. But they failed. But those promises are still going to be fulfilled, right? So there were physical prayers that were always answered. There's not one prayer that Paul mentions except for Christ saying, my grace is sufficient. There's not another one that he mentions as far as physicality of that prayer being answered in any of Paul's letters. Now, if Paul's not different, if the dispensation is not different, if the gospel is all one gospel and all the same, why is Paul's prayer concern so different than anybody else's? Because they are different. Go to Philippians 4. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. This is the main focus when Paul talks about praying. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. So is there anything wrong with praying anything about physicality? No, there's nothing wrong with it in anything. Don't even be careful about it. Be careful for it. Pray, pray, pray. That's your conversation with God. It's not about
coming together and now this is our prayer time. And now we're going to, you know, because that's what churches do. Now it's time to bow your head. Now it's time we have our servant. No, you just pray all the time. The word's complete. When you're going down the road, when we're standing here, and then, of course, we've always been grown up to know that we need to be reverent, so let's all close our eyes. Don't do that when you're driving, you'll wreck. You know what? Some of y'all wreck with your eyes open. Sorry, Melody, you said that out loud. Like, I've never had a wreck. That's stupid. I'm going to have a wreck now. Like, see, those are the things I used to think. Like, now because I said that, this is going to happen to me. No. If I wreck, it's because I made a mistake or somebody else made a mistake. But anyway, the issue is... Now I just lost my whole train of thought. Because you're laughing.
Your eyes closed.
Yeah. I mean, do you see how much emphasis we put on how to pray? Paul says, be careful for nothing. Let all your prayers be heard. Talk to God. Have a conversation with Him in the fact that He's talking back. It's in the Word. He's not going to say, okay. He's not going to, like I said Wednesday night, while you're mowing the yard, He's not going to all of a sudden give you this answer that you had. We had a preacher one time. That's why I say that. He came in one morning pumped up that he was out mowing his yard for the weekend and how God gave him this message, and that's when we had the conversation about the guy. It was so off. It was so wrong. And so I said, well, the Word says this. Well, that was the downfall from there on out. But anyway, it's the issue that people think that, you know, there's a certain way to pray, there's a certain time. I mean, you know, just pray. You don't have to say it out loud. You don't have to, you know, people today, there's nothing wrong with sitting down at a table, holding hands and praying, thanking God for the food you ate. I think it's a great thing if you want to do that. Don't ask Him to bless it. It's already blessed or cursed. You know, right? I mean, I'm thankful that I don't starve to death, but the food, look, they grow a chicken in, what, 4 days now? You know, they're just full of steroids or whatever. But anyway, I'm just kidding. There's just no humor here, okay? Some people look at me like, oh my gosh, they grow chickens quick now. But
it's 29 days.
Okay, 29. Anna's got it down. Anyway, the fact is, we don't have to be careful about our praying. Okay? You don't think God knows what you're thinking? I mean, He knows those things. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. We pray thankfully. Why? Because His grace is sufficient. When we know His grace is sufficient, when we know even though we're asking for that prayer to be answered that we know ain't going to get answered, we can still say, God, you know, I already know the answer to this, but I'm praying it anyway. But Your grace is sufficient. I know You're not interested in the physicality, but You're interested in my spiritual life and You've saved me. What happens? Look at the next verse. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You ever prayed and think God didn't hear you and you just ticked off because you didn't get your way? So you pray it again and you pray another way? You know what? It still made you think of Christ Jesus, didn't it? Because you're still going to pray it. The issue is you pray with thanksgiving. The issue of knowing, God, I blew it. I sure did thank you for forgiving me. God, I would love to see Paul receive a kidney, Jamie's dad, for this chemo, or just for it to even be a mistake or something. Nothing would please me more. You know, but I know what your word says. I'm thankful that your grace is sufficient. You know, those are hard things to pray, knowing you know truth. Those are hard things to come along. You know, but yet, isn't it good to know that through our struggles or through our hard times, I mean, Paul, isn't it good to know that His grace is sufficient? Because if His grace wasn't sufficient, then what would you do? So we never think about that other end. We just want to be touched and healed. But it's because we don't understand those things that are out there. It scares us. Paul's talked to me before. It scares him. I mean, it's scary. Absolutely. Because we don't know. Anything that we don't know scares us. The fact, how would you like to be scared and not know that His grace is sufficient? That would be awful. Right? So we pray with thanksgiving, knowing that He gives us a peace that surpasses all understanding. Even though it doesn't go our way, there's one thing that I know does go my way. And that's that what He's done is what I count on. And whatever I go through here, His grace is sufficient. That's the thing that we rejoice in. That's the things that we're thankful for. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I didn't mean to pick on you, Paul, or you, Jamie, but I mean, I think reality is important for us to look at, and I think it brings it more home. Anything else. I think of these things through the week, you know. And I think, I don't know about y'all, but some of you guys, I didn't mean to look at you when I said this, Anna. As we get older, it's amazing the differences in funeral homes and people that are sick. And you know, when I was younger, it's a difference in my age at 44 and when I was in my 20s. Those things are reality just because, you know, when my brother had a heart attack at age 55, I'm thinking, you know, I'm 40. You know, I'm thinking those things. So, I mean, it hits you when they blame some of it on his psoriasis, you know, his immune deficiency. Well, thank you. You know, those things hit home, you know. They make you more conscious of those physical things. But what if His grace wasn't sufficient? Man, we'd be struggling for everything we got to work. But that's what people do. They don't understand that His grace is sufficient, so they're praying for healing. They're praying for this to happen. They're praying for, which is fine. Be careful for nothing. But what you're going to get, if you read His Word, is the peace. You don't get the healing. God is able to heal anybody. But you're going to get the peace that surpasses all understanding. That's what you want to receive. That's what you want to receive. And you know what? If Paul gets a new kidney, you know who I blame that on? I blame that on the doctors and the knowledge and the wisdom and the technology. And human beings are very smart. God gave us a brain to work. And I'll be thankful for that. You know, if there's a medicine that comes across in the next week or two that takes care of Jamie's dad to live 10 more years, we'll be thankful for that. You know, but if not, God's grace is sufficient. I don't know. I've learned to rest in those things now. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's just look at, for the sake of time, let's look at verse 8. Now, this is Paul. Okay? Now, if anybody had faith, where had Paul just been? He had been in the heavens, right? Not just the air or the solar system. He was in the third heaven. Okay, Paul. And if he had come down and told people what all he saw, what would they have done? They would have exalted him. Do you think Paul probably had more faith than anybody besides Moses? And probably had as much as Moses? So do you think if Paul wanted to be healed, he could have been healed, he could have asked and been healed? Absolutely. You know he could have, because if he wasn't enough, then nobody else could have. And look what he says. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Now you got to remember, Paul healed people too before the word was complete. Those things had not passed away. So he knew healing could be done, right? But here, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. I become a fool in glorying, ye have compelled me. For I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs, and wonders, and mighty deeds. Do you see what he's saying here? God's grace is sufficient. I was not a whit behind any other apostles, although those other apostles, they were in the Holy Spirit came upon them, there were signs, wonders, and miracles, but I'm not a bit behind them. In fact, I would rather take pleasure in my infirmities. You know why? Because the peace of God that surpasses all understanding falls upon him. And so he prays with thanksgiving, even though it's not like he enjoys it, you know. But the issue is, every time it happens, there's a peace. And the thing is I can think of one other place where God, who is it that's sick? Timothy? What does God tell Paul to do? Touch him and heal him? So give him a little wine for his sickness, for his ailment. God wasn't going to heal Timothy. Give him some wine. Look, let's face it. If God was going to heal anybody, he would have healed Paul. Paul was as faithful as anybody. But the issue was, those physical things were no longer important. That's hard to talk about because you just want those things to happen. And there are people that are healed every day from medicines that we have and from things from doctors that have learned and all that, but you're still going to die. You just live a little longer. That's all it does. When we're born, we start dying. Right? And that's the way it goes. That's why there are people that we consider good people that die young. And that's why we always wonder, how in the world does this guy live? He's 90 years old, he's a hardened criminal. Because God's curses and blessings are not falling upon you by what you do. You're dead in your soul if you're not saved. You're alive and a new creature if you are saved. And all this is an earth suit. That's it. That's it. You see the difference in Israel? I mean, they had something to look for because there are things that are going to take place, but they failed, so they didn't take place soon enough. And then God's dispensation of the grace of God fell upon man, so that not only could Israel be saved, but so that all could be saved. And we live forever, spiritually. We have a new body. It'll be a body as Christ. And won't ail and won't be sick or anything like that.